you take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Brooke Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, September 10th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 2 hours where we cover the latest in marijuana news and events going on here. Of course, we are getting ready for the International Cannabis Business Conference this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at the Oregon Convention Center. I'll be presenting there on Saturday as part of a panel discussing marijuana legalization in Washington, Colorado, California, and Oregon. So I'll be representing Oregon, of course. On Friday, there is a debate at the Salem City Club between Representative Earl Blumenauer and Clatsop County District Attorney Josh Marquis regarding Measure 91, our initiative to legalize marijuana in the state of Oregon. I'm working on the transportation and accommodations to get down there to Salem, and with luck, cross your fingers, be able to bring you that debate live. If not, I'll record it and bring it to you later on Friday. Also, speaking of Clatsop County District Attorney Josh Marquis, who I have decided is the Sandman to my Batman. I know we're reaching into the DC canon quite deeply there, but Batman, as I am, is fighting Kevin Sabet, the Joker, and Patrick Kennedy, the Riddler, and the Penguin goes to the blogger who shall not be named. And so I was left with the Sandman, which kind of makes sense because in speaking about Clatsop County District Attorney Josh Marquis, his positions shift more than the sands on the beaches of the jetties up there in Astoria, Oregon. Today, in an early radical rant, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the hypocrisy of Josh Marquis. He came out with an op-ed today in the Oregonian citing Uniform Crime Report arrest numbers, where just recently he had decried those same Uniform Crime Report arrest numbers when the Yes on 91 campaign tried using them. So we'll expose that hypocrisy in a radical rant that'll come right after the 420 radio news. Because also on the show today, we still have some coverage from our Seattle Cannabis Cup weekend, and coming up in the Cannabis Chronicles, we have an interview with the man behind .buzz. That's a new internet domain name, .buzz, and he'll tell us all about that in Cannabis Chronicles. And then at half past, we'll get into our cannabis community chat. We visited with an old friend, a guy I've known since the beginning of my marijuana activism here in the state of Oregon. Tim Pate joined us at the desk at the Seattle Cannabis Cup, and so we'll bring you that conversation in the second half hour. Also, in hour two, Toker Talk Radio, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. We're going to be talking about a couple of studies that have come out purporting all sorts of terrible things that happen to young people if they use marijuana. So we'll get to debunking and looking at those in hour two, plus a couple more vendor interviews. We've got a dab session with the 420 nurses coming up at the top of the next hour. But we start everything out with the 420 radio news. In the headlines today, we've got the July pot tax figures out of the state of Colorado, and there is a record that has been set. Colorado Springs is not going to allow the people to vote on recreational marijuana. Oregon cities are looking to try to tax marijuana before it is even legalized. York selectmen have decided not to allow the people to vote on marijuana legalization, but they may get to anyway. Lawmakers in Hawaii are also looking at medical marijuana dispensaries. So we'll talk about all the issues involved in marijuana on the islands. All that's coming up on the Russ Melville Show, hosted here on 420radio.org and available at finer cannabis websites everywhere. Stick around, the news is next.
Voice of the Marijuana Nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
Join us for the International Cannabis Business Conference September 13th and 14th in the Portland Ballroom at the Oregon Convention Center. The International Cannabis Business Conference will focus on the emerging cannabis industry in Oregon, the United States, and around the world, putting you in front of the industry's foremost entrepreneurs, political leaders, and attorneys. Also showcasing over 40 cannabis-related industry exhibitors, offering VIP lunches and free nightly networking events. Prepare yourself for America's next great industry.
High Times presents Free Weed from Danny Danko from Brooklyn, New York, replaying Wednesdays at 1 Pacific.
Mike Schwab is a former middle school science and math teacher. Currently, he works with children daily as an after-school program leader.
Currently, kids have easy access to marijuana with little understanding of its impact. We can take better care of our kids through Measure 91 with strict regulations and funding for proven marijuana education and prevention programs to keep kids from using it. Under our current marijuana laws, one mistake can ruin a life. Measure 91 removes unfairly harsh punishment for marijuana offenses and gets more tax money to local police and drug prevention. Vote yes on 91.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, September 10th, 2014. July pot taxes, recreational marijuana outsells medical for the first time from The Cannabist. For the first time in Colorado's legal marijuana market, recreational cannabis outsold medical pot in the month of July, according to numbers from the state's Department of Revenue. In July 2014, customers purchased more than $29.7 million in recreational marijuana, up from $24.7 million in June. Medical marijuana patients spent more than $28.9 million on marijuana in July, comparable to June's $28.6 million in sales. The numbers point toward Colorado's medical sales potentially leveling out as recreational sales continue to rise with more and more shops open for retail sale. The pot taxes, too, are starting to build up. Since January 1st, Colorado has brought in more than $37.5 million in taxes, licenses, and fees for recreational and medical marijuana. No word from Kevin Sabet on the $375 million in social costs. Colorado Springs City Council nixes recreational marijuana ballot question from the Colorado Springs Gazette. The Colorado Springs City Council will not ask voters if they want the city to allow recreational marijuana sales, leaving the issue in the hands of citizens who could collect signatures to get the question on the ballot. The council voted 6-3 on Tuesday against an April ballot question that would have asked voters if they want the city to regulate recreational marijuana sales the way it does alcohol. The vote could mean an impending citizen initiative. Earlier this summer, a grassroots organization, Every Vote Counts, pledged to get a citizen-initiated marijuana question on the ballot. However, no one from the group was at Tuesday's council meeting. It would require at least 19,861 voter signatures, or 20% of the votes in the 2011 mayoral election, for a citizens group to get the question on the ballot. Oregon City looking to tax marijuana, even though the voters haven't decided if it's legal yet, from the Washington Post. A Portland, Oregon suburb is considering putting a sales tax on recreational marijuana while it's still illegal, in hopes of getting a cut from the revenue if voters pass a measure allowing its recreational use in November. The Hillsboro, Oregon City Council will vote on the ordinance next week, which would tax 10% of the gross sale amount paid for all non-medical marijuana products. Ashland, Oregon, near the California border, approved a sales tax on marijuana last month, and a Portland Marijuana Advisory Committee is also discussing the possibility. The municipalities are on a time crunch to okay any taxes before November, and there's no guarantee they'd stick. Measure 91 only allows the state to tax marijuana, so local governments are hoping they'll be able to get their taxes grandfathered in if they pass them now. Despite selectmen's vote, marijuana legalization may still appear on the ballot in York, Maine, from WCSH6.com. An ordinance to legalize recreational marijuana in York may still go before the voters in November, even though the Board of Selectmen voted not to put it on the ballot Monday night. According to the Marijuana Policy Project, Maine state law allows a notary public to put a question on the ballot if enough signatures are collected. The organization already collected the number of signatures required, so it is pursuing that option to get the issue on the ballot in York. The issue will go before the voters in South Portland and Lewiston in November. Lawmakers explore the possibility of medical marijuana dispensaries in Hawaii from KHON2.com. Lawmakers are exploring how medical marijuana dispensaries could be set up in Hawaii. 21 members of a legislative task force met Tuesday to hear more about the issue from experts. While it's not a done deal, a task force was created to come up with recommendations on how to make medical marijuana more accessible to patients. A state report looked at how other states manage use and distribution, and found no perfect plan for Hawaii to model itself after. It also found that taking medical marijuana between Hawaiian islands is a federal crime, even though it's within the same state. Two public hearings are scheduled to obtain public testimony on issues and concerns regarding dispensaries in Hawaii and any input on the updated Legislative Reference Bureau report. They'll be tonight in Hilo at 5 o'clock at the Aupuni Center and in Honolulu at 5 o'clock at the State Capitol Auditorium. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, September 10th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville.
Four 20 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the normal...
Congressman Doc Hastings stood up for Washington's medical marijuana program and patients like Larry Harvey. Larry and his family are being prosecuted by the federal government, even though they were following Washington's 16-year-old medical marijuana law. On May 30th, Congressman Hastings voted for an amendment that would protect Washington's medical marijuana program and its patients from federal interference. Will the next representative from District 4 respect Washington voters? No, before you vote.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
You can't handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality, immorality generally.
How in the century you have slurred the meaning of the words we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, when is an FBI statistic for marijuana arrests in Oregon valid? Well, when it suits Clatsop County District Attorney Josh Marquis's political purposes. Now, if you don't know, the FBA UCR is a set of statistics that is compiled from every city, county, and state police agency nationwide. These statistics were used by the Portland City Club and used by the Vote Yes on Measure 91 campaign to point out that there were over 12,000 arrests and citations for marijuana in the state of Oregon in 2012. Well, when this was cited in the Myths versus Facts section of the Yes on 91 campaign site, PolitiFact Oregon jumped on all over that and called it false because it originally said over 12,000 arrests. This is even though there was a clear context of arrest and citations in their post. The 91 campaign was getting their figures from the Oregon State Police, and the Oregon State Police getting those through the FBI Uniform Crime Report. Now, the 91 campaign modified their point to ensure that everyone would know that, quote, police arrested and issued citations for 12,808 people for marijuana in 2012, end quote. Well, this is where Josh Marquis comes in. He is the de facto spokesperson for law enforcement's opposition to the Measure 91 campaign. He went back and forth with our friend Jennifer Alexander, expressing his outrage that the Yes on 91 campaign would try to use FBI UCR arrest number, the FBI UCR arrest numbers to bolster support for legalization. Quote, the Oregonian called this claim what it is, false, as in a lie intended to fooling people into believing that 10,000 Oregonians are being handcuffed, taken to jail, and ending up with a criminal record when that is simply not true. Nonetheless, Yes on 91 Communications Director Peter Zuckerman continues using this claim, end quote. When Jennifer pressed Josh Marquis on why the FBI UCR data continues to refer to all Oregon marijuana charges as arrests, Marquis responds, the UCR is far from, quote, the most reliable indicator, end quote, on a lot of things because of garbage in, garbage out. So, Marquis is making it quite clear that he doesn't believe in these FBI UCR arrest numbers because marijuana is decriminalized in Oregon, and if you have less than an ounce on you, it's just a ticket. You're not arrested. He's trying to make the point that, hey, a ticket doesn't cost that much. And we're trying to inflate this by making it seem like everyone's being arrested. So he doubles down on this in another reply to Jennifer that we can't rely on the FBI Uniform Crime Report data, saying, quote, there are valid uses for the FBI's uniform crime reports. As long as you remember, reporting and police staffing can have dramatic effects. For very serious crime like homicides, the UCR is generally reliable. I am passionate about intellectual honesty. Well, with such a passion for intellectual honesty, I was surprised this morning to see Josh Marquis citing FBI UCR arrest numbers for marijuana like the gospel in his letter to the editor to the Oregonian today regarding juvenile arrests in this state. Quote, funded by private East Coast think tank and juvenile advocacy group, the Annie E. Casey Foundation, Multnomah County has literally written the book on juvenile justice reform, becoming along the way a de facto teaching institute for juvenile justice. Unadvertised in any way, however, is that the fact that Oregon's juvenile crime problem has become so severe under our vaunted reform practices that we now have the second highest arrest rate for juvenile drug crime in the nation, and the fifth highest rate of juvenile drug addiction. The policies that have produced this problem were hatched with the assistance of out-of-state advocacy groups on the advice of self-styled experts with little public awareness. End quote. Now, the link provided by Marquis leads to a report from the Clackamas County DA John Foote and retired Multnomah County DA Charles French, quote, they cite 2011 FBI and Oregon arrest figures that show the state has the second highest juvenile drug arrest rates in the nation and the 12th highest juvenile property crime arrest rates, writes the Oregonian, end quote. I spoke with criminal defense attorney Leland Berger, who assured me that marijuana decrim applies to both minors and adults. A minor caught in possession of less than an ounce will not be arrested, he told me. And in the FBI's Uniform Crime Report arrest tables for 2012, there were 2,514 juveniles arrested for drug abuse violations. That's the same table that Yes on 91 got their 12,000 figure for marijuana arrests and citations. So it would seem reasonable that the 2,500 juveniles are both arrests and citations. And furthermore, it's likely that far more of them are citations than arrests, because far more likely kids would have less than an ounce than adults would have. So Marquis, considering these 2,500 mostly citations as being, quote, the second highest arrest rate of juvenile drug crime in the nation, end quote, isn't he exhibiting the same sort of intellectual dishonesty he accused Peter Zuckerman of? And furthermore, when he complains about a private East Coast think tank produced this problem with the assistance of out-of-state advocacy groups on the advice of self-styled experts with little public awareness, he is still steadfastly defending the Oregon Marijuana Education Summit, produced with the assistance of an out-of-state advocacy group called Project SAM, which is a private East Coast think tank founded by self-styled experts with little public awareness.
Well, what the hell are we supposed to do, you moron?
You're supposed to vote yes on 91, and maybe try to be consistent about your use of FBI arrest versus citation statistics. I'm talking about you, Josh Marquis. Sure was convenient to cite those statistics today when you wanted to rag on Juvenile Justice Department. Not so convenient when they show how much money we're wasting on marijuana prohibition.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. Marijuana Compassion and Common Sense with Lanny Swerdlow, RN, from the Inland Empire, California. Replaying Tuesdays at 10 Pacific on 420radio.org. Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about seven people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net. Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
All right, let's go back to the Seattle Cannabis Cup. We visited with the man behind the .buzz domain name structure. Check it out. Flowers on the Wall, done reggae style on the Reggae Gone Country album. Radical Russ here. 420 Radio's coverage of the High Times Cannabis Cup in Seattle, and we have a guest with us here to tell us about the .buzz. Introduce yourself to our audience and tell us what .buzz is all about.
Thank you, Russ. My name is Bill Dozier. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, and on April the 15th, we launched the .buzz registry. So for your listeners that may not be familiar with what we're talking about, you are always familiar with .com, .net, .org. .buzz is the new .com, the new internet location for the cannabis industry,
yeah,
bringing the community together in one place where we all know we can find each other and talk to each other and discuss each other.
Yeah, it's like there is a .biz, B-I-Z, that they tried to make like a business registry. So I like that .buzz kind of evokes that as well, like business, the buzz, things are happening. So if someone wanted to have a .buzz, they just go to you and tell them what the name is they need?
Well, I think what you have to understand is we are a real part of the internet naming system now.
Okay.
So if you want a .buzz name, you can go to top-level registrar sites like GoDaddy,
okay,
Enom, Name.com, 1&1. All of these businesses that sell domain names around the world have the .buzz registry name to sell to people that want to register a domain name and start a website.
Okay. And so this isn't restricted in any way, like anybody could get one, but we're trying to make it part of the cannabis
Absolutely.
Community.
Yeah, great question. It's all about the buzz feel.
Okay.
And the exhilaration of buzz. And so we are targeting the cannabis industry by all means. That's a community that we want to be a part of. But when you look at buzz, it's all about what makes you feel good? What's happening right now? Events, new product introductions, travel, entertainment, everything that goes along with that whole exhilaration of good feeling, having fun, what we do on the internet, creating buzz, letting folks know what we're up to.
What are some of the domains out there? And you have companies currently that have switched to the .buzz, and we can talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, it's we just started in April.
Okay.
So we've been at this for 3 months. I can tell you that the Washington Retailers Association for the marijuana retailers in Washington has registered legalweed.buzz.
Good.
If you go to that site, there is a newspaper template that they are keeping everybody updated with the changes that are going on in the cannabis industry. We're seeing more and more registrations coming through where we kind of wonder, what are they going to do with that page?
Yeah.
I mean, we see some neat stuff coming through. We've seen Seattle dispensaries.buzz coming through, Denver dispensaries.buzz coming through. But since we're so early in the game, it's tough for them to have a site up this quick.
Sure.
So we know that people are going to develop sites. We also know that people are going to invest in names. This is the early part of this process. And so there's an opportunity for everybody, whether you're a domain investor or you're actually wanting to start a business and use a buzz name to support it. It's all
my apologies. The station playlist player just died, giving you a nice look on the webcam of the Deep Field Hubble space. And and save the set list. So we'll be right back after I fix what's wrong.
420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. The International Cannabis Business Conference takes place September 13th and 14th at the Portland Ballroom in the Oregon Convention Center in Portland, Oregon. Featured speakers include Oregon Senator Floyd Prezansky, U.S. Congressman Earl Blumenauer, Daily Dish blogger Andrew Sullivan, author Doug Fine, and Harborside CEO Steve D'Angelo. To learn more, visit our website at International CBC. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net. The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
That's the Tall Brothers from Victoria, British Columbia, with It's Simply Business. It's absolutely true. It's simply business. It's cheaper to keep exploiting us. And that's what this is all about, exploitation. We're live at the High Times Cannabis Cup in Seattle. We're actually in Everett. And we are sitting here with Tim Pate. We had to come all the way from Portland to see Tim here in Everett. How you doing, Tim?
I am on top of the world. And you, Russ, how are you today?
I'm really good. I just made my way outside to the mayhem that is that place across the street. It's an interesting layout that we have here where there's one set of booths on that side of the block and another set of booths on this side of the block. So yes. you get some walking in this time.
That's true. Well, you know what? We're old and lazy, so it probably does us some good.
Probably some good, that's for sure. And, of course, this we've got a legal cannabis cup going on here. This is not the medical cannabis cup, and it's a good thing to see all this freedom going on.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know how long we've been working at this. And just to see the effect of our efforts come this far, and see the door open up and see people acting in responsible ways and watch them conduct themselves like business people, and you know, and still have fun and be, you know, stoners and tokers. And I really enjoy the fact that we are now in a world that is enlightened.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's nice to be on the 58% support side instead of, you know, back when we're starting out. When
here, I should talk this way. Would that
fantastic.
Help?
Fantastic. That's
okay,
wonderful.
Cool.
Except instead
would
of being
like
back in the
days. Bedroom voice?
The bedroom voice? Let's not get too deep into the bedroom voice.
Okay.
All right. So, but it is a lot better being on this side than, you know, when we're starting out. I mean, you go back at least, what, three decades or longer in this movement when the support polls were 16% in the mid-80s for sure.
I wouldn't have expected them to be that high at that point. Not in our favor. Maybe anywhere from 2 to 8%.
Yeah, it felt
honestly,
that way, didn't it?
It did feel that way. It was that way.
Yeah,
there were just very few people there at that time trying to affect change, and we were having to go about it in a very select way. We couldn't just openly say we smoked. We couldn't openly say why this was good or that was good or anything about any particular varieties. Why Panama Red was the one for your head. We couldn't explain any of these things. And now you get into all the science of it, okay, and you understand the differences, you know, and why we liked Panama Red and it was good for your head way back when. You know, there was a reason for that, and nobody would tell us that. That's what we got in Oklahoma, you know. If we got some good Michoacan, man, that was really nice stuff, right?
That's right. Growing up in Idaho, there was two strains, got some and don't.
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
It.
I lived in Idaho, and you're absolutely right.
Got some? Oh, great. That's
ghost,
wonderful.
Ghost. You got some ghost, man. It's gone.
So what about a lot of this, we're getting seminars talking about the business angle of this. We got the International Cannabis Business Conference next weekend in Portland, all these business conferences coming up.
Right.
What do you think, you know, having been in this and seeing the development of a movement and a culture and a people to now see money and business getting into the equation, at least on the above ground scale?
I am personally on the Administrative Rules Committee for the state of Oregon for industrial hemp.
Okay.
So I serve on that committee with our Attorney General's office, our congressman, our state senator's office is represented, as well as the head of the agriculture department, and heads of at least five of the agriculture departments there. We're finalizing the rules, you know, so that we can wake up the gorilla that's been sleeping over in the corner for a long time. Because, I mean, when I'm looking at real business, okay, and I think of the opportunities that are showing up right now in business here, you know, and I see that here, this man over here has a whole factory full of marijuana he can sell, okay, and I think, well, you know, I intend to grow 20,000 acres over here. So I'm going to have 100,000 tons of material that I can now build anything with on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay. And I can do that not in one state, but I can build factories in three states right now. Mm-hmm. And if I have the acreage, I can put those things up and I can start building houses for people. You know, my long-term dream is to build a house that is non-toxic.
Yeah. And hempcrete is that, man.
To me, that, you know, hempcrete, we need structural members and we need building material of, of specific types that we can use inexpensively and reproduce inexpensively and be able to make.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is my goal, and I really am truly working towards that goal, and I'm not going to stop until I succeed at it.
And we keep getting more and more good news. Just this last week, I reported on the American Chemical Society, Chemist Society, their professional organization.
Sure. Yes.
They had their annual meeting, and they had a presentation and a press conference that I ran on 420 Radio, where they talked about hemp bast fibers being the next new material for the supercapacitor.
Yes.
For new battery technologies that perform equal or better than graphene, which is so expensive.
Yes. Yeah, and this is inexpensive to produce.
Yeah, and this is the...
And how long do you want it?
Yeah, and this is the answer to...
yes.
You know, this. You grow the hemp and get the carbon dioxide out of the air that way, and then you use it to make these super batteries that that will hold the charge from wind farms and solar.
Yes.
That is the big problem now, because you can't push
storage
that over the grid.
Storage is the issue.
Yes.
How much can you store?
How much can you store?
Okay, what's your big capacity here, buddy?
Yeah.
So, if you got a little capacitor, guess what? You don't get much. If you got a big capacity, you can get to store.
That's right.
As much energy that you can use until you get to store some more, which is really the ultimate goal, I think, is to be able to have a system that you can use, create, never have to... And now you're done, right? Your energy needs are done. You are taken care of. And if you get extra, you get to take care of somebody else too.
Yeah.
And so when we get to that point where the planet, as you know, is able to produce energy on a level everywhere, anywhere that we need, okay, enough for me and you.
Yeah. The solution...
Don't have battles over other resources. Because right now, we're battling over oil.
Mm, yes.
Okay, what are we battling over? Nuclear fission?
We're battling over sunlight stored 300 million years ago.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Is that smart or is that stupid?
No, we're battling and having wars over sunlight that was captured 300 million years ago by a bunch of trees in the Carboniferous before bacteria
and
was able to
what?
Boil
we
it down.
We don't have to do that, folks.
And short of us being able to directly take sunlight and convert it to energy, which is what chlorophyll does.
Yeah.
We haven't yet mastered that chemical energy yet, but the next best thing is to take a plant that does that for us.
Well, if it takes me 30 years to grow a tree, and I can, in that 30 years, I can take, let's say, just one crop a year, you know, in the same equal part of land, I can reproduce that same amount of tree 30 times.
Yeah.
Okay, why take the tree?
Yeah. We're here with Tim Pate, a good friend of ours from Portland, Oregon. We both came up here from Portland for the Seattle Cannabis Cup. Tim's involved with everything, and we're shortly before the pumpkin season, so we won't even get into that.
And Russ is stalking me.
And stalking him, that's right. But also involved with the Seattle Hemp Fest core staff, involved with Portland Hemp Stock that's coming up at the end of this month.
Not so much anymore,
no, really.
But for 7 years I coordinated it or assisted it or, you know, and stood up there on stage and played it. And I mean, 3 years ago, Paul and I, we went our separate ways.
Gotcha.
I mean, I had a chance to escape, and I took it.
Well, Seattle Hemp Fest, though, is still doing core staff there.
A Hemp Fest?
Seattle, yeah.
Yes. For many years, I've been a core staff at Hemp Fest.
And it was wonderful this year.
And I've been with them for 20 years on main stage.
I love the new bridge that gets us right there.
I know.
Isn't
right up to my stage. Hey,
right
folks.
To your stage.
I know.
And now that you've had two Hemp Fests after legality has hit Washington State.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any transformation or difference in
the stoners stonier?
Are the stoners stonier? Is the speakers or the speeches
the speakers
different?
Speakier?
The speakier.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, what I think is that we're at a point where we realize we've won some battles.
Yeah.
And it's okay to stand up and celebrate, because I see the celebration. There's a sense of celebration. Hey, we won some battles, and so now is an opportunity for us to really, once we've won those few battles, to show some responsibility. That was really the turn that we took this year. Let's show some responsibility, folks. That is our clue right now to where we head in the future.
Yeah.
Okay? We have an opportunity to teach the rest of the world how to do it right here. Okay? Because the world has turned to us to see leadership. You know that. And if they can see some sensible leadership from our end, then we can help the rest of the United States come to terms with this battle. And that's what I hope to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it comes up from. You know that.
Yeah.
We've known each other a long time.
Long time now. 10 years?
At least.
Since I got to Oregon.
Yeah. Yes. So. Well, yeah, we met right away.
Yeah.
You wouldn't leave me alone.
I know. Like I said, stalking.
I know. I'm glad. I'm grateful for that, man.
You know, we've got legalization on the ballot here in Oregon. I don't know if you've been following
yes.
the spat between Marquis, District Attorney Marquis, and
I Representative have watched Luminar. All week, for the last few weeks on, yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. Good job.
Thank you.
You pointed out some problems. You pointed out some
yeah.
problems. I read Blumenauer's letter. It was an excellent letter. He approached them with, you know, what I thought was sensible, you know, articulate, and, hey, buddies, watch out. We're looking at you because
yeah.
you fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, I like that when my congressman turns and says, these guys are right, they're wrong, go get them.
Yeah.
You know, and how often have you been doing that too, by the way, sir, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So,
we're looking back to 2012 with Measure 80.
I know that. No, yeah. we can go back. Look. We can go back a lot further than that. If you really wanted to analyze the true facts, the DEA and others have come to attack. Okay, whenever there was a prohibition law that we're trying to knock off, you know that they've been involved with that for a long time.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if any of that were there. Okay, if evidence of that appeared from way back.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me in the least. But the fact that you were able to clear some of that evidence right now and bring it forth, you keep on that trail and you'll get a Nobel Prize. Okay? No, don't laugh. Just do it. It's a journalist's job. Okay?
They have my full and undivided attention.
Do it. Yeah, because they deserve the attention right now. They are using public funds,
mm-hmm.
okay, to affect an election. And that's wrong.
Right.
Okay? That's
exactly
simple
right.
wrong, and you caught them at it. So good job.
A lot of people were involved,
and, you know,
that's for sure.
Well, I know that, but I've been watching. It's my job. Okay? I've been on Deep 4 forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the first one to sign up on it. Okay? So but you never see me comment on it, do you?
Yeah, I know. You're a lurker.
No. Well, if you want to call it that, I observer.
There we go. He's the watchman.
I watch everything. I read it all. Okay, I
yeah.
see who the nuts are. Okay, I see who the people are who don't belong on there, and sometimes they get off.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know that.
I've seen
okay,
that.
If the people misuse that line and they, you know, use self-aggrandizement or whatever, they're gone.
Yeah,
we don't need that kind of stuff on there. This is a very serious drug policy forum.
Yeah.
Okay, and so when I have something to contribute to somebody, I go directly to them. I don't do it online. I don't do it in that forum, but I listen to the forum so that I know how to act.
Yeah.
That's why I use it, and that's why you don't see me responding and being clever. And, you know, I don't have to tweet anybody to know whether I'm clever today.
There you go. And me, it's a habit, I guess.
Yeah.
But we got legalization coming,
yes.
and the numbers
yes.
look good as far as our chances of passing.
Well, that's
going to
affect my committee directly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we
so.
Are meeting here this month. I don't know the date yet, but I will know here probably in the next day or two. When we're meeting, and the Industrial Hemp Committee is what I'm talking about, because when we finish what we have to do, we hand it off directly to the director, the Agriculture Department, and he has a public a phase where the public can comment, not come and change it or anything, but just comment, okay? And then he can sign off on it, and it becomes law. So we're creating the rules right now so that we're ready when the law passes in November, if it passes or not, we will be ready to act on the law that was passed in 2009, okay?
Right.
And so that's what we're working on currently. But if the law passes this fall, what it does directly is it compels my committee to finish the job that we already started. So either way, I win.
Yeah.
You know, I'm good on it both ways.
Measure 91 does have that section in it that says that the Agriculture Department cannot deny an industrial hemp permit just because it's federally illegal. They can't use
yeah,
that
yeah,
excuse
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah,
but isn't that the law anyway?
Well, I, you know, You know what we discussed in our meeting, and this was actually from the assistant from the Attorney General's office. I said, anytime you get an attorney in a room, you get three opinions. And she goes, that's why attorneys have two hands. On the one hand, and on the other hand, you know,
right.
how are we supposed to make a decision, you know, on a committee when we can't even get a straight answer from, you know, you, because you're the one we need the straight answer from. Who has a straight answer from that? I don't have a straight answer from that, but I wish I did, okay? The real answer is, the gorilla in the room is the feds.
Yeah.
We cannot deny that, okay? When I'm sitting in committee with the head of the drug enforcement for the state police, he's on committee with me too.
Okay.
Okay? And we both know that, you know, we can't import it. It's against feds. Okay, the feds will get us for this, okay? But how are we going to get it in? Well, are we going to look the other way or what, you know? Because once it's in, and, you know, it's legal in the state to have it. And he knows that, and he doesn't want to police that or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we've had that conversation in committee.
Wow.
So, you know, yeah, I know. Wow. I know. Don't you love it when you actually...
State police guy saying, should we just look the other way?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's how our conversation is now. That's where we're at. That's the level of, you know... cooperation, if you want to call it, you know, from entities in the state that have power to arrest you and put you in jail forever. So, you know, no, that to me, that's like, wow, it's good to have that level of backing. So I don't have the answer. Maybe I will. Maybe I will soon. One of the issues, I think, is if we had to, we just go directly to the President of the United States and ask for an executive order allowing us to import seed.
You would think, you know,
I don't know of another thing, because now this last summer, I was able to, through John Davis, who is an associate of mine, he went back to lobby before Congress and speak before Congress.
Oh, okay.
And he asked me, what would you ask? So I was able to feed him questions from
good.
That committee, you know, concerning, you know, on my availability for him and the seed that we need, you know, in order for us to proceed with our industrial necessities.
And you know, one aspect of this that is so helpful on the industrial hemp front is Kentucky trying to do their import of hemp seed from Italy gets seized by the DEA.
Yeah, that's
and
got,
there's the
got
back
released.
And forth that went on that. And the guys that are fighting the DEA on it are Republican Senator Rand Paul and Republican Senator Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader, who are on our side. It's just wonderful.
Right. I got to meet Denny Rohrabacher.
Oh, yeah, Dana Rohrabacher, yeah.
Yeah,
he was at the Hemp Fest this year.
Yeah, he signed the guitar. I got to shake his hand.
That's
thank
wonderful.
Thank you very much for being here, sir.
That we've
I mean,
got Republicans
he was the one who snuck into Reagan's speech, tear down that wall.
Yep.
That line was not even supposed to be in that speech, and he snuck it in, you know? I mean, to me, that's like, I wanted to have the conversation about Just Say No. I was a part of the Reagan White House too, buddy. You know, we just never met.
What was up with that?
I know. But, you know, it's time we were all in on the same page with this.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really what I'm hearing is they have finally woke up to realize, oh, there's money in it. Oh, you know, yeah, we should have woke up a long time ago. There's more than that. There's little kids who aren't having seizures anymore in it.
Yeah.
You know, there's all the good things I can line up and say that, okay? But from a political standpoint, there's states' rights, the issues concerning personal rights, and who the fuck are you to stand in my way and be on my toes?
Yeah.
You know, in my home with whom I want to be with or whomever.
Yeah.
You know, that's a personal rights issue that's, you know, there's boundaries. How many more boundaries do they get to cross in our lives?
Yeah.
Okay? So... That's my question. You know that I'm laughing here, but you know how serious I am.
No, absolutely. And you know, here we are at the Seattle Cannabis Cup.
Yep.
Hanging out with Tim Pate, and we're getting close on 4:20. It's actually 4:17.
Oh my God, is that late already in the day?
Yeah,
Jesus.
It is 4:17, so we're having our 3-minute warning. Okay. I got to find some 4:20 music.
Well, let's go outside and smoke. We got to go smoke.
All right, so let's
see you, folks.
Get outside,
go smoke.
Tim Pate. Radical
I love
Russ,
I love
we're
you
out
all.
Of here.
Yeah, I love you.
Back to the music.
All right.
Very good.
Fun sitting there and speaking with Tim Pate, our friend from the state of Oregon. He's busy in a lot of the parts of our movement.
4:20 Radio, turning red states and blue states green. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Cannabusiness Chronicles.
Flowers on the Wall, done reggae style on the Reggae Gone Country album. Radical Russ here. 420 Radio's coverage of the High Times Cannabis Cup in Seattle, and we have a guest with us here to tell us about the Dot Buzz. Introduce yourself to our audience and tell us what Dot Buzz is all about.
Thank you, Russ. My name is Bill Dozier. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, and on April the 15th, we launched the Dot Buzz Registry. So for your listeners that may not be familiar with what we're talking about, you are always familiar with .com, .net, .org. .buzz is the new .com, the new internet location for the cannabis industry,
Yeah. Bringing
the community together in one place where we all know we can find each other and talk to each other and discuss each other.
Yeah, it's like there is a .biz, B-I-Z, that they tried to make like a business registry. So I like that .buzz kind of evokes that as well, like business, the buzz, things are happening. So if someone wanted to have a .buzz, they just go to you and tell them what the name is they need?
Well, I think what you have to understand is we are a real part of the internet naming system now.
Okay.
So if you want a .buzz name, you can go to top-level registrar sites like GoDaddy,
okay,
Enom, Name.com, 1&1. All of these businesses that sell domain names around the world have the .buzz registry name to sell to people that want to register a domain name and start a website.
Okay. And so this isn't restricted in any way, like anybody could get one, but we're trying to make it part of the cannabis
Absolutely.
Community.
Absolutely. Great question. It's all about the buzz feel.
Okay.
And the exhilaration of buzz. And so we are targeting the cannabis industry by all means. That's a community that we want to be a part of. But when you look at buzz, it's all about what makes you feel good, what's happening right now, events, new product introductions, travel, entertainment, everything that goes along with that whole exhilaration of good feeling, having fun, what we do on the internet, creating buzz, letting folks know what we're up to.
What are some of the domains out there, and you have companies currently that have switched to the .buzz, and we can talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, it's we just started in April.
Okay.
So we've been at this for 3 months. I can tell you that the Washington Retailers Association for the marijuana retailers in Washington has registered legalweed.buzz.
Good.
If you go to that site, there is a newspaper template that they are keeping everybody updated with the changes that are going on in the cannabis industry. We're seeing more and more registrations coming through where we kind of wonder, what are they going to do with that page?
Yeah.
I mean, we see some neat stuff coming through. We've seen Seattle dispensaries.buzz coming through, Denver dispensaries.buzz coming through. But since we're so early in the game, it's tough for them to have a site up this quick.
Sure.
So we know that people are going to develop sites. We also know that people are going to invest in names. This is the early part of this process. And so there's an opportunity for everybody, whether you're a domain investor or you're actually wanting to start a business and use a buzz name to support it. It's all available to you right now.
You know, the first one I thought of when I saw your shirt was Catcha. Catcha.buzz. Somebody's got to be doing that, right? Is that, did I hit the tagline?
Well, I can tell you Catcha.buzz was one of the first names that was registered. It was, we went live on April the 15th, and it was registered shortly after we opened. And what's funny, I know the guy that registered it. He's one of the top domainers in the industry. He is a professional name buyer, and he saw the value in catcha.buzz to where he bought it on the first day.
Wow.
And I hope he's rewarded significantly for that foresight and being able to know what the value was out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So folks that are interested in getting a .buzz domain name, do you just go to your site? Or
right now, we're running a great competition right now. We have a Name the Bee competition.
Okay.
Our logo is, of course, the .buzz with a little bee on it, and we need a name for that bee. So if the customer wants to go to namethebee.buzz, there's two things they can do there. They can register a .buzz domain name. They can search to see if the domain name is available for them. But also, they can help us name our bee for the chance to win $1,000 if they're selected in a drawing at the end of the contest. So namethebee.buzz.
Right on. Namethebee.buzz, and the.buzz is the main site?
The.buzz is not launched yet. It will be.
Oh, okay.
But that will be the brand that we're going with as far as the total picture of what we're trying to express.
And, you know, being a domain name and all the different things you can do with that, somebody wouldn't have to lose their .com. They could have both, couldn't they?
No, and I think we get confused with what domain names are and what they really do. It's really your website.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk a lot about domain names and the .com, .net, .org, but it's really just what is my website. So if somebody has a really nice .com, we wouldn't suggest completely going away from the .com. But when you look at the .buzz space and the fact that we're new here, you can shorten your name. You can make it more attractive. You can rebrand to this word that we're going to direct toward your business, toward the cannabis segment. But also, you could redirect if you wanted to and cover everything. So the .buzz name could actually redirect on the internet to your .com, .net, .org. So there's any number of possibilities. I think what most folks have to know is the time is now. It's new. We're here this weekend in Washington, making it aware to people that are here. And we just want them to know that that's what they need to do, is take a look at it, think about it, and if you want a buzz name now, register it now. Don't let somebody get it a year from now from you and just park it and sit on it and not be available for you.
All right, check it out. The buzz.buzz is happening. We got the Name the Bee contest. And give that website out again.
Name the Bee, NameTheBee, .buzz. Namethebee.buzz.
All right, get involved with that and get in early on these domain names, because, you know, that's the key to it, is the timing of it. You know, like the guy that got Catcha, you know, just could see that, hey, that's going to be popular for something.
I think everybody has to realize there are some very sharp, sharp domain folks out there. And with the launch of new domain spaces, they're going to be in there buying the valuable property. And so if you've got a business, if you've got an event that's around buzzing the cannabis industry, feeling good, now's the time to get a .buzz domain name, .buzz website.
Right on. Check it out. It's Bill Dozier from .buzz. Thank you so much for joining
us here. Thank you, Russ. Pleasure.
All right. We're going to go back to some more music, get the Reggae's Gone Country still going here, and you're listening to our live coverage of the High Times Cannabis Cup.
So please don't give up on me.
So the .buzz domain name is up and available. You can get yours online. Go to .buzz and find out. It's about all the time we got here for today's show. We're going to go out with a little bit of Chief Greenbud here. This is Token Bounce.
I fully understand you want to get me high. I really do appreciate you sharing.
And I mean it, just a little bit. Had about 15 seconds to kill in there, but we're on track now for hour two. Toker Talk Radio is coming up next. We've got a couple more quick little minute videos from vendors. I think you'll like this one. It's the 420 nurses, excuse me,
Force of Habit. The 420 Nurses and Dab Time with Megan and Chad. So check those videos out. Coming up next here on 420 Radio. Plus, we'll take more of a look at Josh Marquis and the enormous hypocrisy of the anti-marijuana crowd here in the state of Oregon. And we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. For everyone here at 420 Radio, thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Come on, time. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you grow it.